Going to take a break for a couple of weeks from our study of the book of Ezra. We'll pick that up the second Wednesday night in January, the 8th. But I want you to, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25 for our scripture reading tonight. Another part of the Christmas story. That deals with Joseph. So follow along in your Bibles. Let me read these verses for you. It says in verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband," and again, remember, they were espoused or engaged, but back in that day, it was a very legal engagement. In fact, it could only be broken with divorce, and we're going to read that in the next verse. "But then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Many people, when they speak of Joseph, call him the forgotten man of Christmas. And I guess if you compare the part or the role that he had in the Christmas story to the others that are in the Christmas story, you might say that he had a minor part. When Mary got a visit from Gabriel, she was awake. I mean, the angel spoke to her. She wasn't asleep like Joseph was. And, you know, in a few days, she had a physical reminder of what God had done. I mean, she got pregnant. But Joseph, when the angel spoke to him, he was asleep. He heard from the angel in a dream. The shepherds, many shepherds, saw the choir of angels. Okay? Joseph just saw one. Again, in a dream. The wise men, they saw the star, and they followed the star for a number of days, a number of months, perhaps even years. But again, Joseph didn't have a star. He had one dream where an angel spoke to him. After the angel spoke to Mary, she speaks and sings and praises God. The shepherds got to tell the story of the angel and angelic choir that sung to them. The wise men testified before the king, where is he that is born King of the Jews, where we have seen a star and have followed it from afar. But you ever stop and think? There's not one word that Joseph spoke that's recorded in the Bible. Not one word. And yet, Joseph, who in Christmas pageants today is sometimes referred to as an extra, okay? I think teaches us a wonderful lesson, a wonderful Christmas lesson about faith and obedience. And so tonight, I want to just share three things about Joseph. First one I would share with you is that he obeyed God. Joseph obeyed God. We read it in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So here's Joseph, a young man, late teens, early 20s, looking forward to his marriage, looking forward to spending his life with this one that he loved. And then something terrible happened, again, from his perspective. Mary got pregnant, and it was not his child. And the law and the custom of the day was that Joseph could make a public spectacle of Mary. He could call the town together. He could declare that he was divorcing her. He could publicly announce why he was doing that. But the Bible says there in verse 19 that he was a just man. And he did love Mary. And so he was going to divorce her, but he says, I'll do it privately. I'll do it secretly. Nobody will know except for, you know, for our parents and us. But there's no reason to drag her through this public disgrace. But the Bible says that while he thought on these things, an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't worry about, don't fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Then in verse 24, Joseph, being raised from sleep, notice the next word, did. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Now again, just try to put yourself in Joseph's place tonight. Try to think of the thoughts that must have went through his head. I think most people in those same circumstances, when they dreamed this dream and an angel spoke to him in this dream, would try to argue with God, try to reason with God. And Joseph, there is absolutely no indication that Joseph did this. He heard the angel, he heard God's word, he heard God's instructions, and he did it. He didn't argue, he didn't debate with God, he didn't give God a list of reasons why he shouldn't do it. In simple, childlike faith, God said to Joseph, do it, and he did it. God said to Joseph, take Mary to be your wife. Don't worry, the child that she bears is of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph simply said, yes, sir, I will do it. Now, remember Zacharias. We talked a little bit about him Sunday when the angel came to him. And he was awake. And the angel came to him. Gabriel came to him, said, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. Well, Zacharias says, it's impossible. Can't be done. We're too old. And again, we talked about it Sunday. He was struck dumb. He couldn't speak until John the Baptist was born. Not Joseph. He didn't doubt. He didn't question. He didn't argue with God. He simply was obedient. And I would remind you tonight, that's what God wants most of all from us. He wants our obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, this was when Samuel had instructed Saul to go fight this people, and Samuel said, kill them all. Kill all the people, kill all the animals, don't bring anything back. And you know the story. Saul saved the king, saved the best of the animals, and Samuel, he came back and said to Samuel, I've done what God told me to do. And Samuel said, then why are all these animals here? Why do I hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle? If you did exactly what God said, why are all these animals here? And Saul said, well, I brought them back to sacrifice to God. I brought them back to kill them on the altar. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, listen, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. The best Christmas gift that we can give Jesus is our obedience, is doing what he says. In 1 John 5:3, the Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. Sometimes for Sunday school, we sing that little song, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. That's what Joseph did. He obeyed. He did what God told him to do. Notice, he did it in spite of public sentiment. I'm sure every friend that he had came to him when this news came out and said, "Joseph, why'd you marry her? She's disgraced you. You should have divorced her." I'm sure his family said to him, said, "Why would you start a marriage like this? Why would you do it?" You see, sometimes our obedience to God may not be too popular with our friends and our family. Sometimes our obedience to God means that we have to stand alone in spite of what other people might think. He also obeyed in spite of fear. Now, again, the angel says, "Joseph, fear not. Don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife." And again, God, this wasn't something that happened every day. This wasn't something that had even happened once before. This was something that had never, ever happened before. And I'm sure, even though the angel said, "Hey, that baby that's in Mary's womb was conceived by the Holy Ghost," I'm sure Joseph might have said, "Well, what does that mean? How does that work? I've never heard it done like this before." And again, the angel said, "Well, it's of the Holy Ghost. That little baby is of the Holy Ghost. Mary's going to have that baby. You're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from his sins." And then the Bible quotes Isaiah 7:14, "A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." And what the angel was telling Joseph, you're going to be the earthly father of the Messiah. You're going to be the earthly Messiah, the earthly father of the anointed one. You're going to be the earthly father of the Savior of the world. And again, just think about it. Not only was Joseph involved with something that had never been done before, when he realized what was happening, I'm sure he thought to himself, "I'm going to be the earthly father of the Messiah? That little baby that I'm going to be the earthly father to is the anointed one? He's going to be a toddler in my house? I'm going to have a part in raising that little child and then that teenager, the Son of God?" I'm sure one of Joseph's fears was, "God, I can't do that. There must be somebody else that's more qualified than I am to be the earthly father of the Messiah. Surely you've made a mistake in choosing me for that honor. I don't know that I can do that." And when the angel was saying, "Fear not," he was saying, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Sometimes God calls us to do things and we have the same reaction. "God, there must be somebody else that's way more qualified than me to do this. Are you sure you got the right person for the job? Somebody else out there has more talents and more abilities and is smarter than I am. Surely you could find somebody better to do this job than I could." And yet, those are the exact kind of people that God uses. If we think we can do it, then we'll probably do it in our own power. If we think we can't do it, then we'll do it with the power of God. And that's how he wants us to operate. Not with our power, but with his power. Joseph staked his obedience on the word of God. He wasn't awake like Mary was when the angel came to him. It was in a dream. He didn't have a choir of angels. He didn't have a star to follow. He simply had the word of God delivered to him by an angel in a dream, and Joseph says, "I'm going to do what God says." We'd be a lot better off, all of us would be, if we would just read this book and know it's the word of God, and we'd just say, "God said it, I'm going to do it. God said it, I'm going to do it." Now, number two, I got 3 points tonight. Number two,
there were consequences for Joseph as he obeyed God. Some people think when you obey God, live by this book, that you're going to live on the mountaintop. That everything's going to come up roses, everything's going to be okay, and you're not going to have any problems. My experience tells me that that's not always true. My experience tells me that's hardly ever true. Now, in the long run, everything's going to come up roses. And in the long run, everything's going to be okay. And in the long run, you can depend on God rewarding you for your obedience. But along the way, there are going to be some consequences to being obedient to what God tells us to do. Let me just mention a couple of them to you. First of all, for the first part of their marriage, probably for 6 months or so, Joseph couldn't enjoy the physical relationship that God intended for a husband and wife to enjoy. The Bible says, then Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. This was a young man, just got married, looking forward to the rights of a married man. And for the first 6 months, even though they were married, he did not come, he did not, as the Bible says, know Mary. Second consequence, he had to take the trip to Bethlehem. He had to be in the right place. Now, again, men, any of you ever taken a long trip with a pregnant woman? Some of you are nodding. It's not easy to do that. Ladies, no offense to any of you, but something happens when you are with child sometimes. And so he had to make the trip to Bethlehem. And then he had to flee to Egypt. I mean, when the wise men didn't go back to Herod and tell him when the king of the Jews was born, they went home a different way, Herod got mad. He said, well, I'll make sure this one doesn't live. And he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem and killed all the children under 2 years old. And before that happened, Joseph had another dream, got another visit from an angel and said, get up and get out of here now. Get up and get out of here now. And they went to Egypt. And again, I don't know how long they were there, but they had to leave. And by the way, some people say, well, how'd they make that trip with the little baby? Remember, Jesus wasn't a little baby when the wise men came. They were in a house already. And the wise men came in and saw the young child. And the wise men presented them the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God financed their trip to Egypt with the gifts that the wise men brought. I mean, they were going to a strange country. And again, Joseph needed a way to provide for his family. God took care of all that when the wise men came. And sometimes our obedience to God will have consequences. Sometimes our obedience to God may cause us to give up some pleasures, may mean we have to endure hardship, may mean that we have to go places that we've never been before and do things that we've never done before. But all of that will be worth it when we see Jesus. It will all be worth it. And then number three, Joseph, just think about this. And I've been thinking about this for the past week or so. Joseph influenced others by his faith and his obedience and his example. Joseph was Jesus' earthly father. I think Joseph was a loving father. The Bible doesn't tell us. I just think he was a loving father. I think at the end of his life, when Jesus was praying and called God Daddy, Abba, Father, I think he thought back to his childhood and the kind of earthly father that he had. And I think Jesus called Joseph on occasions, Daddy, Daddy. When Jesus told the story of the prodigal son and told the story of the father that was forgiving and patient. I think Jesus might have thought about Joseph. Said, hey, I had an earthly father like that. That was patient, forgiving, and kind. I don't need to remind you tonight, you're the Wednesday night crowd. Your faith and your obedience will influence others. It will influence your children. It will influence your spouse. It will influence your grandchildren. And your faith and your obedience will influence their faith and their obedience. If we fight God, if we argue with God about everything that He asks us to do, if we're disobedient at times, those closest to us are going to see it. Our kids are going to see it. Our grandkids are going to see it. And they're going to say, well, Dad was like that. Mom was like that. Must be okay. But if we are like Joseph, if we have the faith that says, hey, I believe God, and I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm not going to argue with Him. I'm not going to debate Him. I'm simply going to do, again, with simple, childlike faith, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. If our kids see that, if our grandkids see that, and again, it's not a guarantee, but they're going to be more apt to submit to God. They're going to be more apt to be obedient to God. They're going to be more apt to have faith in what God says. So again, Joseph didn't play a big role in the Christmas story. I mean, again, all the plays that you see, most of the times he doesn't have any lines. But he teaches us a wonderful lesson at Christmas time about his faith and his obedience. We sing that song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so let's learn that from Joseph tonight. Again, hope you have a wonderful rest of Christmas. The men will be praying back in the library. Ladies will either be over here or somewhere in the auditorium. So if you'd like to join us, we'd sure like to have you join us. Good way to close out Christmas Day in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer.